You are listening to the Word of Deliverance Church podcast. For more information or to make a donation, please visit us at wodchurch.com.
32 years. And there ain't a one of them that had to follow a magician. I'm telling you. So no pressure there. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. They picked the theme, The Lion King, back a few months ago. And I was like, well, okay, that's cool. And we got to thinking about it. And I thought, well, you know what? What a truth in that whole movie. And we've known that since it came out. But Just give me a minute, because I will, I don't know what I'm going to do, but something will happen here in a few minutes. Praise the Lord. Take your time. Take your time. And so we picked this Lion King theme, and I get pretty assertive and, but it didn't really matter to me this year what the theme was. And I'd been traveling some and haven't been enjoying that for work. And so I thought, well, that'd be good. And I started thinking about this theme, and I thought, what a beautiful picture of restoration that this movie is. And what a beautiful picture of restoration that this camp has become. 32 years ago, it's just a thought. And a few folks said, well, let's try it. We're dragging food in pots. And we have a few folks from North Carolina and a few folks from West Virginia and a few folks from Pennsylvania and wherever. And now it's progressed that we've got folks from around the country. But when we started it, I got the privilege of taking my bath in a pond. What an experience. We will restore that as soon as we can, because everyone should experience taking a bath in a pond. You know there's things that are alive in ponds, right? Amen. Amen. Now, I'm not the this role was traditionally went to my brother-in-law Jack, and had a few other folks, but it's a difficult thing, I've always thought, for him. Because the first night, everybody's tired. Everybody's tired. And maybe not wanting to listen. And that's okay. Because I talk to myself a lot. And I'll be all right with that if you don't listen. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to talk this evening a little bit about this Lion King thing, and we're going to tie it in with a couple other stories in the Bible that have become real in my life. You know, when I was a youngster, I went along through life the first 9 years of my life, and I thought everything was perfect. My mom and my dad living in the same house, we were cooking, man. Everything was working well. Then all of a sudden, one night late, my dad stayed in that house and we all left. And I found myself living with a mom and my siblings and not seeing my dad. And I know that there's people maybe under the sound of my voice that have experienced something similar to that. And I would never dare to even even try to get a pity party for it, because whatever happened, God has turned and made for his good. Because I can guarantee you, that no matter what, my kids would never experience that. So I grew up without a dad, but I had many dads. I had many dads, and just bear with me. I'll get to where we're going in a minute. But I had many dads, and it wasn't that my mom had a bunch of boyfriends that I had many dads, although she may have, I don't know. But neighbor men and fathers of boys that I knew and uncles and different people took the place of my father. Now, my father wasn't dead. He just chose not to participate. But these gentlemen took that upon themselves to be a father to me in whatever way they thought they could. And so, through that, I got some pictures of what a father should be. Other than that, I was such a young kid when things went awry that I didn't really know. And I determined in my heart that I would always be willing to father someone. Young people need people to father them into this kingdom, to father them in life. And if they've got a father that's there with them, fantastic. But if they don't, sometimes we as men need to fill that role. So, I thank Bud, and I thank Danny, and I thank, who else? Leroy, Pastor Jack. Pastor Jack became my father at the age of 20. And my mother, Sister Shirley, became my mother at the age of 20. And I wasn't even dating their daughter yet. She often said I dated her because I liked them so well. And that might be a little bit true at first. But then she hooked me. And she hooked me. So they filled that role as I got older. My father-in-law filled that role as a father to me, and my mother-in-law filled that role as mom to me, and they have become an integral part of my life. And I say they have become because I believe that even though Pap isn't here physically, that he's here. My mama, she's still sitting there. But I believe he's here. And I'm not a professional minister, and I don't do this all the time. And as I was sitting here today, and I was going over this, we'll get here in a minute. But as I was going over the word in my mind, and I'd talked to Lisa, I'd never done a Sunday night like this. Since we started this camp, mainly because I didn't want to. I didn't want to be up here. But God laid something on my heart. And since we were getting into this story of the Lion King, he laid the word of restoration into my heart. And the whole story of the Lion King is about restoration. It's about the restoring of a lion to his place that he needed to be. And each one of us find ourselves at different times in life needing to be restored back to what he wanted us to be. Now, my life is a myriad of failures and successes, but the biggest thing that it's a story of is a story of restoration. I will let you know that this God that we serve will restore you. He will lift you back into the place that you were meant to be. And why will he do that? Because he loves you, because he destined you when you were just a child. If we look at this movie, and I'll reference this movie some, The Lion King. You know, at the beginning of the story, you see the monkey, Rafiki, he comes out and we just saw it a little bit ago, and he held up my grandson. Oh, no way. And he held up Simba so that everybody knew that was the king to be. And I want you to know that no matter where you found yourself, and you all know the story. How many have seen The Lion King? See, I knew it would be like 99.8%. And you know the story that Simba gets tricked and duped, and he finds himself in a place where he shouldn't be, and he gets restored back to where he was meant to be. And I found myself so many times, and it is what it is, in a place of need and restoration, that I know for a fact, and I know for a surety, that his restorative power, God's restorative power, can restore you. No matter where you find yourself, no matter what position you found yourself in, no matter what mess you've gotten yourself in, that the restorative power of Christ can bring you back to the place where you need to be. And he will set you back up to the kingship that he wants you to have. And he will restore you to the people and to the family that he wants you to be part of. And how do I know this? Because he's done it in me. If I learn nothing else in my walk with Christ, I've learned that he is a restorer. I used to get upset. Oh, I get upset still. But I used to get upset specifically, you know, when I started hearing folks preaching the message of grace. And it like it was something new. And I thought, ain't nothing new. This ain't nothing new. I've been living in this grace since the day I came to know Christ. So it's nothing new. This isn't a new word about grace. But it's a word that'll restore. It's a word that has been around. It's a word that has been working in my life since the day I accepted him as my Savior. Well, amen. Let's see if we've got any notes here. Amen. Amen. For those of you who don't know me, I am married into the Hiles family. And what that means is that means you become a Hiles. and you have to accept that. Oh, are you one of the houses? Sure am. Because it doesn't do any good to argue. You're in it. So when I married into this family, I accepted that and I expected that. And I'm glad that I'm part of this house family. My children don't call themselves Murray. They call themselves Howells. It's a wonderful family. You're thinking, when is this guy going to get started? Well, I'm getting there. Amen. Good. Yeah. Amen. Amen. But I know about restoration. I know about restoration because he's restored my life more than once. He's restored me. We're going to talk a little bit about Mephibosheth this evening. And we're going to talk a little bit about the prodigal. And you can't hardly talk about the Lion King without touching on at least the prodigal. And I won't be long. I'm not long-winded. I don't think. So when I became a member of the Hiles family, when I became a Hiles, you didn't become a member of that family without becoming a minister of some shape. Hey, Jim, we're going to the jail service. Come on down. Sure. Hey, Jim, we're going to the hospital. Come on over. Sure. Hey, Jim, I want you to preach tonight. Sure. You just kept saying sure because you couldn't turn them down. That Shirley and Jack Hiles combination. I didn't know how to say no. I could have not read my Bible for 4 months. And Pap would have said, I believe you got a word tonight. And I'd say, sure. Why? Because I couldn't turn him down. I couldn't turn that man down. Because I saw something in him. That he loved me in spite of who I'd been or what I'd done. And he taught me that that's the way that you should look at people. And it became integral to the way that we run this camp is that it doesn't matter what you've done, where you've been, or who you are. Because we're going to love you in spite of anything that's happened in your life. We don't care. We don't care what's happened in your life. We don't care where you've been. We don't care what's happened since last year. All we care about is making sure that you hear a word of restoration and know that God will restore you back to the place that you were. I look at that movie, The Lion King, and I think, that dude, he left everything he had. He wound up eating worms with the pigs. Sounds very familiar. And all of a sudden, he came to himself. And so he started back to take his place. And the accuser of the brethren accused him of the murder of his father. And he said, yes, I had a hand in that. He thought he was guilty. Then he realized that the accuser was the one that was guilty. Amen. I told my wife this evening that I was a little bit on the nervous side. Not because I'm afraid of getting in front of people. I love getting in front of people. I don't have a problem with getting in front of people, but I want to make sure that whatever I give to you is going to do something for you. And I may talk for 40 minutes, And I'm just hoping that there's 2 minutes in there that does something for you. That's the way I do it. I'll chat with you. I'll talk with you. I'll share with you in hopes that something that I've got will impart into you life. Back to my life, just to finish that thought. My parents split up when I was 9 years old. My dad came to see me once a year over the next 10 years. And I had many fathers who wanted to try and fill that spot. And so they imparted into me different things, but they never really filled that spot. But it helped. But the guys that did impart something to me that just, it really made a difference in my life were Sunday school teachers that I had that told me about Jesus. Old Bill and Old Floyd. They were the only two guys in the church that would say amen. I came from a United Brethren background. And there wasn't much amening going on. A little bit like in here. No, I'm just kidding. There wasn't much amening going on. But every once in a while, you'd hear one of these old guys over in the corner go, amen. Those were my Sunday school teachers. I didn't get the quiet guys over in the corner, but I got these two dudes. And so they were telling me about Jesus at a young age. And I'd went to the altar several times, not knowing why I was going, only knowing that I felt a tug of something on my heart. And when I got older, I found myself in a place when I was around 20 years old that I needed to call out to him again. And I called out to Christ, and he came into my heart and filled me with peace that passed all understanding. Now, a lot of you in here this morning, because that's usually if I speak, it's in the morning. It's the easy time. But a lot of you under the sound of my voice may have already accepted Christ as your Savior. And that's fantastic. But if you haven't, as we go through this week and tonight, and as we go through all the things that we're doing, if you haven't, or if you found yourself falling away from Christ, or you found yourself eating worms with the Pumbas of the world, then this altar is going to be open for you. And I encourage you to come running to it and let God restore that which he started in you. Because as I knelt down by my couch when I was 20 years old and I accepted Christ as my Savior, all those times I'd went to the altar before and didn't really know what was going on, this time something happened. Something took. Now, have I been perfect since I accepted Christ? Is that my wife said, not hardly? Not anywhere near. Not anywhere near. I've made many mistakes. I've had many failures in my life. I've had many setbacks. But I've always known one thing. That my father loved me. And he would restore me to the place where I had been. You say, man, that must get pretty hard starting over all that many times. You see, that's the good thing about God. You don't have to start over. You just start where he left off. Come on. He don't make you go back to it's not like Monopoly. You go back to go and start over. He starts you off where he left off. Well, that doesn't hardly seem fair. Doesn't matter. I think it's pretty cool. Because if I'd had to start over as many times as I've failed in life, man, I wouldn't even be past Connecticut Avenue yet. If you don't know the game Monopoly, then that means nothing to you. Amen. So these gentlemen took their time to be a father to me. My father-in-law took time to be a father to me. I even had friends that fathered me, guys that weren't that much older than me as I went through life, and because I'm just dumb about stuff sometimes, and they would father me through things. And and I realized that God is a God of restoration. And as we look at this movie, The Lion King, it's a story of restoration. And we're going to go to the book of Second Samuel, and we're going to read a little bit about a guy who was restored. And then we're going to go over to the book of Luke chapter 15. And somewhere in here, I think, if we have it available, I'm going to show a clip of the movie The Lion King in regard to a particular portion. And if you were expecting a preacher to jump up and shout, you're probably not going to see too much of that. And that's okay. So let's go to the 2 Kings and let's go to chapter 4. I just want to touch really quickly. See, I just meandering through talking all that time just to try to get the guts up to go into the Word here for you. So you thought I was almost done, and I'm just getting started, so sorry. Take your time. Take your time, as Brother Bill used to say. Second Samuel chapter 4 says, "And when Saul's son heard that Abner was dead in Hebron, his hands were feeble and all the Israelites were troubled. And Saul's son had two men that were captains of bands. The name of the one was Benan, the name of the other Rechab, the sons of Rimmon, a Beerothite. The children of Benjamin, for Beeroth also was reckoned to Benjamin, and the Beerothites fled to Gidim and were sojourners there until this day. And Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son that was lame of his feet. He was 5 years old when the tidings came of Saul and Jonathan out of Jezreel that they had died. And his nurse took him up and fled. And it came to pass as she made haste to flee that he fell," or she dropped him, "and he became lame. And his name was Mephibosheth." As we go over to the book of 2 Samuel again in chapter number 9, we'll read a little bit more about Mephibosheth in a minute, but I want you to know that this young man Mephibosheth was dropped by his nurse as they were running away in fear of David. In fear of David, King David. And because of that, he was made lame. And so we go over to the book of chapter 9, 2 Samuel. And we see that David says, "Is there any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, "Art thou Ziba?" And he said, "Thy servant is he." And the king said, "Is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet." And the king said unto him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, in Lodabar." Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, from Lodabar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was coming to David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, "Mephibosheth," and he answered, "Behold, thy servant." David said unto him, "Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually." And he bowed himself and said, "What is thy servant that thou should look upon such a dead dog as I?" And the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, "I have given unto thy master's son all that pertained to Saul and to all his house. And I just want you to see here that this young man was crippled. And if you don't know the story of David and Saul, Saul was the king before David, and David took over the kingdom after Saul's death. And this young man was crippled while his nursemaid was running away in fear of David. And he was crippled all his life. And many of you know that story. And David decided that he was going to make right with the house of Saul, and he was going to restore this man to a place of honor. And he had him come in and sit at the king's table. Now, you know, I used to preach this from the perspective that when you come to the king's table, your crippledness is hid under the table. And no one can see that you're crippled anymore. No one can see that you're damaged goods anymore. No one can see where you came from anymore. But God showed something to me the other day, and as I've been watching The Lion King about 30 times over the last month or so, just trying to get something, a revelation. And God showed me that as Mephibosheth came up and pulled up to the table, that his crippledness was hid under the table at the king's table. And God spoke to my heart, and he said, I'm going to share something with you right now, that not only was his crippledness hid, but when you slide up under the king's table, your crippledness will be healed. Now, I want you to know the reason I know that to be true. It's because I've slid up under the king's table in a crippled state, not being able to walk right, having some problems. And I want you to know that I lifted the tablecloth, and I wasn't crippled anymore. I'm not lame because of the things that have happened in my life. I'm not lame because of what I may have done that was wrong, or what I may have done in my life that prevented me from walking forward in a good manner. And that lameness, when I went under the table, went by the wayside. Because at the king's table, not only do you get fed, but you get restored. And those legs that were damning him to a life of crippledness, and a life of being outcast, and a life of hiding, and a life of living in fear, those legs that had damned him to that, there's kids here. If there was adults here, I'd just go ahead and say it. But those legs that had damned him, well, we'll just say those legs weren't damning him anymore. See, I had to think a minute how to get that out in the way that it'd be okay. But I want you to know that God, when you come to sit at his table, that he will restore you every whit whole. I want you to know that you don't have to go through life with the past things that are in your life crippling you and holding you back. Because when you come to sit at the king's table, restoration takes place, not just on what you can see from the table up, but what you can see under the table. Because I'm going to tell you something this evening, that if my God is not a God of restoration, then he's not the God that I think that he is. And I've heard people say all along, well, you know, there's consequences to what you did. Yep, there is. There's consequences. There was consequences for that child that was dropped and was crippled. There was a consequence. He couldn't walk. But I want you to know that when you come to the king's table and you pull up under the king's table, that God will restore. He'll restore. He'll restore you back to where you were. You can believe it or not. It really doesn't matter to me anymore. Because I'm starting to see it. I'm starting to see that yes, there are consequences to things that we do sometimes. To sin that we have in our life sometimes. There's consequences. Sometimes those consequences aren't pleasurable. Matter of fact, they're never pleasurable. But I want you to know something. And you can stand with me or you don't have to stand with me. But I want you to know that God will restore you to where you were. Not in the state of crippledness. Not in the state of being bound up by consequences. But God will restore you back to where you were. A lot of preachers in here, believe it or not, this is Ripley's tonight. How do I know that? Here you go. How do I know that? Because I'm telling you something, I'm not crippled. I'm not limping. I'm not limping tonight. Why? Because when I came to him and I sat at his table and I slipped under there, that crippledness went away. Wow, what a table. What a table. Amen. My God is a restorative God. This story that we're talking about all this week, and there'll be people that will talk about it and will do a beautiful, much more than me picture of the Lion King movie. But the story is about the restorative power, the restorative power in my heart. It's about the restorative power of God. I don't know who wrote it. I don't know if it was Disney. I don't know if it was Joe Smith. I don't know. But somebody, whoever wrote it, they had an experience somewhere along the line. Because it's too much God in this thing. It's too much God in this thing. I know. I'm an odd duck. Just ask my wife. Just ask her back. So I see the restorative power of God in this story of Mephibosheth. When that man pulled up to the table, he was crippled. And I know it talks about him being lame later in the scripture there. But I want you to know, he sat at that king's table long enough, his lameness went and he became whole. And that's what happens to us. And that's what can happen to you. And this week, you're going to be around this altar. And you may say, nope, not me. I'm not doing it this time. Not going up there. Go ahead and say that. Go ahead and say that. Go ahead and say that. I'll see you up here. I'll see you up here. I've seen it all. I've been here way too long. Well, I won't say too long, but I've been here way long time. And I've seen it all. I've seen it all. I've seen the guys that would wait till the last night. They'd sit back there and on the last night they'd finally do it. They'd break. I've seen little shaved head guys that are now singing the songs of Zion that would be in rebellion and they'd finally break to the altar held out as long as they could. And then they'd come running. And the place would go crazy. Then it became the third night of the week. Then it became the second night of the week. And I just say, just go ahead and get it over with. Because there ain't no sense being miserable all week. Just get up here to the altar, clean it up, get happy, and then enjoy the rest of your week. Get ready to body surf. Get ready to play some volleyball. Get ready to enjoy Bible study. Get ready to have the peace of God ruling in your heart all week long. And I just encourage you that tonight, when they play some music up here, that you just say, you know what? I'm waiting because I don't want to deal with this all week. Just come crash in the altar. If you got something in your life, I'm guaranteeing you that God will meet you here and he'll set you back up to where you were. Let's go to the book of Luke, chapter 15. I'm not a preacher. I'm just a man. My father-in-law, everybody was a preacher. Damn. He'd say, preach good, boy. And I'd preach that word as best I could, thinking all the time, I don't want to be up here. I don't want to be in front of these people. I've never had a problem with talking. Just ask anybody. I can talk. I'm talking right now. Luke chapter 15, verse number 11. He said, a certain man, and you all know this story, or most of you do. A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will rise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and he came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion. And ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. The father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he is found. And they began to be merry. And we know the latter part of the story. The elder son gets upset. But the whole purpose of me reading this to you was, is that when you find yourself, and I know some of you are only 13 years old, you find yourself in a place of living with the hogs, living with the pigs, or living in a place that isn't what you would deem to be a Christian life. If you turn, the Father is watching for you. And he will run to meet you. And he will restore you every whit whole. He will restore you with the ring. He will restore you with the cloak. He will restore you with everything that is yours. Why? Because he's a restorative God. He's going to restore you back to the place that you were. I didn't write it. It's right there. He's going to restore you back to the place where you were. He didn't say, you know what? You're right. You really hosed up. You're going to be a servant for a while. Or you're right. You really messed up, son. I really can't accept you back as a son, but I'll accept you back as a servant. Is that what he said? No, it's not what he said. What did he do? Gave him the ring. Gave him the cloak. He restored him as a what? As a son. What? No punishment? He done blown everything that he had. Surely we need to beat this man. Surely we need to do something. He has to pay the penalty somehow for what he's done. It's already been paid. Christians, sometimes, some folk, they want some blood, baby. They want that dude to pay some penalty for what he did. He blew it all. He didn't blow part of it. He didn't blow a little. He blew it all to the point where he had to eat husks with the pigs. That's where he was at. He had blown everything that he had. And you're saying, well, I'm only 13 years old. I really can't get in that bad of shape. I don't know. Maybe you can. Maybe you are. Maybe you don't have to be in that bad of shape. But maybe you're in a place where you've fallen away from the Lord. I had a preacher tell me one time about 20 years ago. He said, boy, that was a little deep word for kids. I don't know. They understood it. Are you dumb? No, you're not. Just because you're 13 doesn't mean you're dumb. You're as smart as any adult out there. When it comes to the things of Christ, those things apply it no matter what age you are. That restoration comes no matter what age you are. And I'll tell you something, that at every age that you are, the things that you may do that are wrong seem really, really big. And they may be. And as you get older, they may not seem as big as what you're doing now that may be wrong. And that seems big. Every time, and I'm not going to tell you, I mean, I hope that you get through life and never fall, never have a failure, never sin. That'd be fantastic. I know, I'm hoping my kids can do that from this point on. Because all that sin will do is just cause you grief and despair and anxiety. And I don't really care how old you are. I don't care how old you are. We all have the ability to fall. We all have the ability to sin. But we also have the ability to repent and to be restored by God. And He will restore you. And that's about all I wanted to say this evening. And I'm not done yet, so don't get all excited. But I wanted you to know this evening. And why did I want you to know it? I want you to know it because I know it. That God will restore you today. And He'll restore you back to the place you were at before you fell. You don't have to do 17 Hail Marys and 57 penances here to get back. All you got to do is ask. All you got to do is ask Him. All you got to do is come to Him. And He will meet you. He will meet you where you're at. And He will restore you. You say, well, Brother Jim, I'm a pretty good little girl. I'm a pretty good little guy. I'm 14 years old, 15, 16. See, I don't want to stay with 13s because if there's only 8 or 9 of them in here at 13, then everybody's targeting them, right? Oh, this guy. But each age as a teenager, we have our different problems and our different issues. And you say, well, you're pretty old. I doubt if you really remember what being a teenager is like. Well, you're probably right. It's been a while. It's been a while, but I do remember what it was like. And I didn't have the advantage of coming to a camp like this or being in a Christian home or going to a good church. And I remember that. And I've got 3 kids. One of them just coming out of teendom. And I know that there are struggles that everybody goes through at every age. Don't misunderstand me. I just want you to understand that God's grace is more than enough. Caleb, go ahead and play that clip. Oh, I thought that was my clip. Oh, that was new Lion King music. It's all right, just hang on. If you didn't know who this is Rafiki.
Look down there. That's not my father. It's just my reflection.
No!
Look hard. You see, he lives in you.
The next scene there on that clip is when Rafiki comes over and Simba's standing there. He just seen his father and his father was encouraging him to go back and to take his place. And Rafiki comes by and he said and Simba Simba says, but, you know, but my past. I failed. I was a failure. I made so many mistakes. And Rafiki says, hits him in the head with the stick. And and it hurt. And so Rafiki's talking to him. So then he takes that stick and he goes to swing it again. And he said, and essentially what he was said to him at that, all the, while that was going on, he ducked and he said, you can either live in your mistakes or you can learn from your mistakes. And the reason that I'm shared this little piece with you is that he took that lesson and he went back and took his place. And you can either choose to learn from your mistakes or you can choose to live in them. And if you learn from your mistakes, then you can go back and take your place. Don't allow those things to overcome you. Don't allow those things to hold you back from what God wants you to be. From taking your place where He wants you to be. Put those mistakes behind you in your past and move forward into your future. Have you ever made any mistakes? I know most teenagers haven't, but have you ever made any mistakes? Have you ever failed? Have you ever sinned? Have you ever stayed in that spot and miserable? Man, I hope you're all just perfect kids. I really do. I hope you're all just perfect adults that are in the back. I really do. But if you're not, and you've had failures in your life, and you've had times when you've not been what God wanted you to be, know this, that He can restore you, and He will set you back up, and that when He says it's time to go back, go on back. Amen. Amen. Like I said, I'm not. You are in for a treat this week. We've been doing this for that many years, and the ministry that you will hear this week, they are some of the best ministry I've ever heard. And I've heard a lot. The word that you'll receive will be as good as any conference that you could go to with your mom and dad. It will be at a level that is beyond compare. And I just encourage you this evening. I encourage you this evening to take this word and let God set you where He wants you to be. And if you guys are all in great shape with the Lord, then fantastic. We're in for a heck of a time. But if you've had some struggles in the past year, you've had some struggles, and you're not where you think you need to be in God, I encourage you to pour out your heart to Him this evening. Let Him restore you. Let Him set you back up to where you were. Proceed forward, not backward. Don't think that you have to pay a penance. All you have to do is repent. My father-in-law used to say to me, he'd say, Jim, because I always struggled with certain things. And he says, Jim, just rest in it and let the Lord do what he's going to do. So rest in him tonight. Just rest in him. I'm not going to sit up here for 15 minutes and give an altar call to you like this. But I just want to encourage you. I don't know what you've been doing over the last year. Some of you I see every week or every 2 weeks, depending on how my travel schedule is. Which, by the way, we'll talk about that later in the week, but I need your prayers. No. We need to improve that travel schedule. But I don't know what you've been up to. You do, though. Each one of you knows where you're at. And I just want to see you get back to the place you were if you've fallen away from him. And if you're not, and if you're doing great with God, then fantastic. Encourage those around you. Encourage those around you. Amen. Well, I guess that's it.